Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, does the Western media present an accurate picture of the state of Muslim schools in Britain?
Some of the mainstream British media uncovered evidence that Muslim students are being exposed to extremist preachers and fundamentalist Islamic groups in the Muslim schools across Britain. The Association of Muslim Schools, AMS, responded by stating that such programs are intended to vilify Muslim schools by conflating decontextualized statements and scenarios with the reputable organizations and individuals who run Muslim schools. In this episode, Islam and Life will investigate whether the Western media presents an accurate picture of the state of Muslim schools in Britain.
We started to hear about the Muslim schools and in Britain, and not even only in Britain, also in other European countries, after July the 7th, where the people were saying and talking about, oh, integration is not working, and we have Islamic schools, as if the Islamic schools were responsible of, you know, people not being integrated into the British society. This was the picture, and we had a very bad media coverage of anything which has to do with religious schools or Islamic schools, and mainly Islamic schools much more than any other type of religious schools in the country. So the coverage was bad, and then we had some programs talking about what is taught. It's not really British, it's not really European, it's coming from elsewhere. This is a way where the Muslims are taught not to integrate within the country. So the coverage is negative, and the consequences is once again to perceive the Muslims in Britain and the British Muslims as the others, as the people who are not within the society, not fellow citizens in the way we are talking about being British. So Britishness is perceived as something which is alien to anything which has to do with Islamic schools, for example. So these are critical questions whether the Muslims and the Muslim communities in the West and in Britain should come with a clear discourse on what they stand for, what do they want, and what is really happening on the ground. Well, to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Ibrahim Lawson, the spokesman for the Association of Muslim Schools UK. Thank you for being with us today. Let me start with this perception that we have media programs and coverage that are quite negative. When we speak today about Islamic schools in the UK, while for years the perception was in the UK they are much more welcome than, for example, in France. In France, if you speak about Islamic schools, is exactly the opposite of what should be done. But not only in France, in other countries, the leading country was UK on that. And then, all of a sudden, what we have is exactly the opposite. Very negative perception. So what is, how could you first explain what is happening and why it is happening now?
Well, I think that this is a part of a larger picture where it's not just Muslim schools that have a bad press in the UK. There's research has been done to show that Muslims are almost always presented in a negative light whenever they're in the media. It's done in a way that inflames opinion against Muslims. So there are no good news stories, lots of
mainly,
bad news
yes,
stories,
that's true.
Yeah, mainly, you know. Even down to the way pictures of the Muslims in the newspaper quite often resemble police mugshots, so that we're being criminalised by the media. And I think there are historically the reasons for that have been growing since the Salman Rushdie affair back in the 90s, particularly since 7/7 and so on. I think that partly it's because it's journalism is about making stories that interest people and that sell. And so you want a nice inflammatory story because people are going to be much more interested in that sort of thing. So I think that's one of the reasons why the Muslim schools get a bad press. Secondly, though, I think it's because people genuinely don't understand what is going on in Muslim schools. And that's an issue that really isn't being very well dealt with. And it's not being dealt with very well
on
either
yes,
side.
Yes,
you know, because I would say also that what's interesting about Muslim schools, and they're not all the, or Islamic schools, they're not all the same by any means. I've been around to a lot of Islamic schools when I was doing research on leadership in Islamic schools, the National College of School Leadership.
And so there's a diversity of
Islamic
schools.
There's a huge diversity. Yes. There is. It's a very interesting bit. You have Islamic small schools, Islamic Montessori schools. You have Islamic very experimental Islamic schools. You get others that are just trying to copy the state system. You get residential. You get mixed. There's a huge diversity there. there. So for a start, it's not possible to talk about.
That's completely true, and I think that this is, once again, the media coverage is giving us a analytical reality.
Particularly panorama program. Yeah,
exactly.
Course, you know.
I want you to talk about this, but once again, what we got, and very often when I'm sitting with, for example, this is my own experience with politicians and journalists, the name that they have is, we are dealing with madrasas, and madrasas means Islamic schools, and madrasas is exactly what we have in Pakistan. In Pakistan is Taliban, and Taliban is, once again, we get the picture.
That's
again. Let us try to deconstruct this.
Let's unpack a little bit. Yeah, that panorama program was extremely interesting because, of course, most of it was about Saudi weekend schools. And what most people, including Muslims who saw that program, don't know is that Saudi weekend schools exist to bring Saudi kids up to speed on the Saudi curriculum so that when they go back, they can slot back in.
Okay.
Because in Saudi, you have to pass the year. And if you don't pass the year, you have to do it when you get back. You know, so your kids could end up 2-3 years behind when you get back. Saturdays and Sundays, they go to a school somewhere where they've had 5 days in the British state system. They get 2 solid days of Saudi curriculum. Now, that's an extremely unusual situation. That is Saudi kids that are going to go back to Saudi Arabia.
That is to equip them to go back.
Exactly.
It's not directed towards the West and the British society.
It's got nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's all in Arabic.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do we expect from the Saudi curriculum?
Hmm.
And they managed to find one or two things that look rather objectionable from a Western point of view. You know, but that's hardly surprising.
Okay, so let us now try to speak about Islamic schools in Britain or in the West for Western
Muslim
citizens.
So what is the story there? Well, the story there is extremely interesting because the Muslims have been in this country now for a few decades. The West is evolving. It's hard to talk about Britishness now. You know, if you live in London and you try and have some concept of what it is to be a Londoner, it's not going to resemble any. I'm a Londoner. My grandparents and grandparents are Londoners. And the world we live in now doesn't bear any resemblance to the world that I was born and brought up in the 50s. You know, it's nothing. It's nothing. So, you know, there's the debate about what is Britishness. You know, we're getting to the point where national identities don't make so much sense as they did anymore. You know, we're Europeans.
Yeah.
We are members of multinational corporations more than we are members of nation states, you feel sometimes. You know, we belong to the banks, you know, the politicians seem to be irrelevant sometimes, you know. So what is this Britishness thing? At the same time as the British people are trying to work this out, and there's some very interesting developments going on there, philosophically and so on, the Muslims are here, and they are now in a situation they never anticipated. You know, a lot of Muslims came to this country so they could earn enough money to send money back home, and then they would go back home and build a big house. You know, but then obviously children are being born, and they're being brought up, and Muslim parents are going, oh no, you know, what's happening to my children? I didn't really think about that, you know. And so after we had mosques being established by the first generation, once your kids get to a certain age, you suddenly start getting interested in education. You know, what do I want for them, you know? And we want something that is going to help them to grow up to be British, but to be Muslim. And that's the really interesting thing. You know, what does that mean to be a British Muslim? And nobody's really got the answer at the moment, you know. But it's certainly not helping that Muslim schools are being defined into a kind of ghetto mentality, which
but
actually doesn't exist.
Yes, I want you to stress on this, that the people are saying that if it's an Islamic school, it means that the Islamic factor is going to be stressed upon it. The people are going to be, they are Muslims first, much more than being British. And they are, it's to segregate the people. At the end of the day, you take all the Muslims, men or girls and boys, and you segregate them from. It's self-segregation. What would be your answer to that?
It's about 5% of, or less than 5% of the Muslim population go to Islamic schools.
Okay.
39% of Jewish children go to state-funded Jewish schools, and about the same number go to independent Jewish schools.
Yes.
You know, so Jews go to Jewish schools.
Yes.
You
know, nearly, more than Muslims.
Nearly 80%.
Yes.
Whereas in Muslims, it's very few. It's 1 or 2%. Maybe I'm saying 5%, but I think it's actually less than that. So the principle of having a school which is there to encourage children to identify with their cultural tradition hasn't been problematic up until now.
Okay.
Now, people will say, yes, of course, but Muslims are a problem in the way that the Jews are not a problem.
Yes.
And I would dispute that. But the Muslim schools they're all very good at citizenship, and it's not just lip service. You know, unless we believe that Ofsted are deliberately conspiring with Muslim organizations to sweep the reality under the carpet, Muslim schools make a lot of effort because they have to.
Yes.
It's in Muslim schools that the question of British Muslim identity is on the forefront. That's almost why these schools exist, and they are very good at it. And I can tell you, I would like to see empirical evidence of these wild claims that Muslim schools produce segregated ghetto mentality.
But if we listen to you, you are saying that it's exactly the opposite. Because it's an Islamic school, they have to stress on this,
exactly.
And they are making much more in that direction, that to connect
they
with the British.
The whole point is for them to be Muslim and to be able to contribute in a positive way to this society. If you look at the people that are causing the problem, they're people that are lost. They've lost their roots. They're having to seek a Muslim identity outside of the family, away from the mosque, away from the school. Where are they going to go to? Young
yes.
radical extremists that are going to get them all fired up, because you know what young people are like, you know.
Yes.
Muslim schools are definitely not part of that picture at all. And we need to get that, not just that message out, but we need to get people. And Muslim schools are doing a lot of good work. Bringing anyone who's been to a Muslim school
yeah.
Will tell you, you know, I was surprised. Mm-hmm. What I found, how okay. normal it was.
But let me just ask you this question, because this is once again something which is important coming from the Muslim community in the way they have to express themselves and to connect their work with the surrounding society. Because at the end of the day, if you are not well perceived, it's also your responsibility to change the perception around you. So this is also something which has an important dimension. Mm. An Islamic school, we also have to have this, you know, PR exercise.
So
we will come to this. Mm. But before that, Islamic schools. Mm. What is specifically Islamic and an Islamic school?
It's difficult to speak for all Islamic schools.
Yes,
they all have
honor,
slightly
yes.
different ways of looking at it. Some of them exist in order to train the ulama of tomorrow.
Yes.
So they will have a particular answer and they
yes.
have a particular style, typically a boarding school. But generally, in a very broad sense, what's typical of an Islamic school is that there is an Islamic ethos. Now, what does that amount to? It amounts to, I like to think, in the best practice, a kind of dhikr. We are here for Allah.
Yes.
We are here to remember Allah. We are here to learn how to be the servants of Allah. We are here to learn how to follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what we're here for. And we remember that from the moment we arrive, in fact, from before we arrive until after we leave. On the way to school, I say to my students, you are representatives of the Muslim Ummah and the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is a responsibility. And Allah, you didn't ask for that. Allah put you in this situation. You have to deal with it. That's the task that you're up against.
Mm.
So it's that emphasis, really, that life is about being Muslim.
Mm-hmm. It's about being Muslim.
Being a Muslim, isn't it?
But listening to you and having some journalists listening to this, say, okay, this is exactly what we are saying. At the end of the day, what you are teaching your students is be a Muslim. Be a Muslim first. Mm-hmm. Know what it means to be a Muslim. So the second part of my question.
I don't think we should confuse the issue. There isn't a contrast between being a Muslim and being a British citizen.
So this is exactly
my two completely different things.
But the second part of my question is, what is British in the British Islamic schools?
What's British?
Yes.
Well, firstly, I think it's the curriculum.
Yes.
An enormous part of the curriculum is usually
exactly the same
curriculum.
Yes.
They learn. They learn British culture and tradition. They're all learning in English, right? They're
so
all
the
learning
language,
English. The language is there.
The language, the curriculum.
Subjects are there.
Yes.
The history is there. The citizenship is there. The whole Western epistemological paradigm is there. You know, they are not being socialized into some kind of alien philosophy of life.
Mm-hmm. So this is a very important thing.
Yeah.
Now, as to the Islamic schools and the environment, how are the, you know, once again, it's very different. And as you said, there is a great deal of diversity in the way the Muslim schools or the Islamic schools are connected to the environment. Is there a philosophy for the Islamic schools to be connected to the social, cultural, British environment? Is there something which is done here, which is exactly the opposite of this image that, in fact, the Islamic schools that we have are self-segregating, you know,
I mean, all schools recognize that you are socially embedded. A good school brings in the community, and a good community empowers the school. So basically, connections. The problem that Islamic schools have is they're seriously underfunded. I mean, if people want to help this process to be on our side and say, let's work together to create a positive, diverse, but positive and integrated society. And I often wonder, what is it about Islam that people object to? You know, is it that we, you know, almost everything in Islam in terms of the morality and the law, you know, people have an objection to Islamic law. it's the same as the law of this country. You know, the morality is practically the same. People often look at the Muslims and say, oh, you know, 50 years ago, we were like that. You know, and we've lost something in the last 50 years that the Muslims have kept. You know, family values, respect, dignity, honor, all of these things. Muslims are very well-meaning people. So in school, we recognize we would like to do more. We would love to do more. We are stretched. We are under-resourced. We don't have. We take advantage of whatever is offered to us. We participate in projects that are laid on to bring the Three Faiths Forum that people may have heard of have been coming into our school.
How many schools in the UK are now state-funded? You have eight schools?
Is it eight? You know, I ought to know. It used to be five.
It's more than that.
It's about eight that are actually state-funded. And there are some bids coming up for free schools as well. Okay. But, you know, money doesn't solve all your problems, but it certainly solves some of them. You know?
Let me come to something, which is the way I also looking at this, because what we were talking about is the media, the coverage, and once again, it's clearly that it's not only done towards, you know, the Muslim or the Islamic schools. It's because the whole atmosphere when it comes to Islam and Muslims is today quite negative. Don't you think that the head teachers or the people who are getting this, you know, the project of having Islamic schools should be much more communicating to the surrounding society today? I really think that we are not doing the job. That once again, what you just said now is not known by the people.
And
we
cannot
just blame the people not to know.
But, you know, the Muslim community needs a lot of upskilling, really. You know, I mean, what you're saying could almost sound like blaming the victim, you know, for being weak and puny. And when you got beaten up by the bully, well, you should have done some martial arts training and then you wouldn't be a victim. You know, the Muslims are often picked on and victimized. I really do. I think the Muslims in this country tend to be victimized. I've experienced that myself. And
but what do you mean exactly? Because I would say my discourse when I listen to what I said is to say that the Muslims don't nurture the victim mentality.
No, I'm not saying we should. Saying we should. No, we've got to build our institutions in this country for a start, right? Where we are hundreds of years behind in terms of our kind of cultural evolution in the West compared to the Jews and the Christians and the secularists and all the other people. Okay. They've got a community is only as strong as its kind of community institutions. And we're very new here.
Yes.
You know, we're very young. And there is an idea, you know, I mean, I didn't used to be very keen on engaging with the media because I just thought,
no way.
It's all a distortion, you know.
Yes.
But you can't bury your head in the sand. You know, I mean, most of the people in this country know most of what they know about Islam from the media.
Okay.
So we have to get in there and deal with it. You know, we have to get our hands.
So what would be the priority for you? Because if we speak about, you know, you can't have a project without just indulging into PR, you know, exercise.
You need
to
talk. They're
okay.
Essential
skills, what would be the priorities?
Well, there's media training. I mean, that we're looking at this seriously at the Association of Muslim Schools. We realize that our members need to have the skills to be able to deal with the media, not to be drawn into making silly statements, not to say things or to do things that could be misinterpreted. Of course, that's always going to happen. To be ready with a response, to be proactive and not just wait to be picked on before we say anything. There's a lot of interesting facets. There's a huge group of Muslims in this country that you never hear from. The university educated, middle class or wealthy, successful businessmen and entrepreneurs and filmmakers and people involved in the professions who somehow never have their voice heard. It's paradoxical. This is the group that is the most successful, the most integrated, with the most money, the best educated, and yet they're the silent minority. So empowering those people to get their message across, which is happening, you know, the sort of people
to push them to speak out?
Well, to speak out, and I think that is happening. But or to simply be more present in the media. But of course, I think the media really is stacked against us.
Yes.
You know, it's an entertainment industry at the end of the day.
Yes, that's true. I think that, and they are making money out of it. And I think that is completely true. Now, if we have to look at the last, you know, 30 years, you know, I was visiting some Islamic schools when it was the starting of, the
division. I remember those days,
Now, I think that things are moving. If you have to be self-critical, is there something the Islamic schools now should be better and we have to be self-critical in the way we are connected to the surrounding society?
I think in the way that we are connected, full stop. I mean, my impression of Islamic schools is that they tend to operate in a little vacuum. You know, quite often they don't know what the Islamic school up the road is doing.
Very often, they
feel isolated. They feel they're struggling along from day to day. I think one of the things that I'm part of is something called the Islamic Teacher Education Course, where we're getting together teachers from Islamic schools to really think through what is it that we are actually trying to achieve. Mm. Is it just a national curriculum with a sort of bismillah at the beginning and to reassess the vision, exactly. Yeah. I think that's really important because we've got a lot to offer to the West, and somehow it's not getting across, is it? You know, I mean, Islam is the best way of life. I mean, why did I become a Muslim, right? It's because it is the best thing you can have. And yet people don't even see that at all. And it's getting worse. You know, Islam is this medieval terrorist philosophy. I mean, how have we not got the message across? Is there something to do with people just trying to maintain their own culture and keep their heads down? There is that to it, you know. I think another thing we need is more research. There is not very much research done on faith schools, faith schools in general, because it's either considered by academics to be not very serious. You know, research on education doesn't tend to research faith schools.
Yes.
And faith schools tend to mistrust it as well because, you know, we're about faith. So where's the rigorous research that we need to be able to present ourselves in a correct way and to be able to understand ourselves better, I think, is what I'm saying.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think that during this discussion, we have been able to come back to, in fact, the source of the problem. Once again, it's not only about Islamic schools. It's really about Islam and the Muslims living in the West, living in the UK, and the message about the Muslims is quite negative. Add to this what happened with violence, violent extremism, and 7/7, and then what we have then is all this discussion about Britishness, and then the perception that the Islamic schools are segregating the Muslims. And this is where what was said and what you repeated is that there is a lack of information and knowledge coming from the people because they get information from programs that are focusing on for example, the one program focusing on Saudi schools, not understanding that these schools was very specific, preparing the Saudi people to go back home, and this had nothing to do with the Islamic schools. So it's quite important to get to understand what is done, and then also for the Muslims to get a better understanding of how to communicate with the surrounding society to make it clear that at the end of the day what the Islamic schools are doing is preparing citizens, British citizens, to be at the same time fully Muslims and fully British or Europeans. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here's the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programmes, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Ibrahim Lawson. Thank you so much for your presence and your input in this discussion, important one for our societies, and I hope to see you next week, inshallah. Thank you.